Anzac Girls, the extraordinary story of our World War I nurses. Written by Peter Rees and read by Anna McGann. On the night of the 22nd of July, 3 days after Alice wrote to Harry's mother, the Germans began a bombardment on her clearing station. She was summoned to attend a delirious pneumonia patient at 10:25 p.m. She was walking along the duckboards behind Private John Wilson, an orderly, on the way to the patient's tent, when a German aircraft was caught in the searchlight just above the hospital. Another orderly caught her arm, stopping her and motioning to her to look up. "Doesn't he look pretty, sister?" he said. As Alice watched, Private Wilson walked on ahead, swinging a lantern. Then they heard the whir of a bomb dropping. "Get down, get down," someone cried as they dived under a ward table. Alice ran on after Wilson, expecting the bomb to hit the railway line, but it fell ahead of her at the rear of Ward C5, the pneumonia ward, which consisted of 4 small marquees arranged in a square. The bomb blew a crater 5 meters in diameter and about 2 meters deep, completely destroying one tent and leaving the others unfit for use. A second bomb dropped outside the southern boundary of the camp, near the cemetery. Although the camp had been targeted before, this was the first time that the clearing station itself had been hit. In the dark, Alice could see little around her, but she could hear. The noise was so terrific and the concussion so great that I was thrown to the ground and had no idea where the damage was. I flew through the chest and abdominal wards and called out, "Are you all right, boys?" "Don't bother about us," was the general cry. Alice raced along the duckboards towards the tent of the pneumonia patient. Although every light was out and there was a faint moon, the sky was bright from numerous searchlights. Fragments from the bursting anti-aircraft artillery dropped like rain, one landing immediately in front of Alice. She met the cook running along the duckboards, making for an adjacent paddock and swearing hard. When he saw her, he shouted, "It's put out my bloody fire, sister. It's put out me bloody fire." A patient in pyjamas ran past her yelling, "I've got me paybook, sister." Alice raced on. The next thing I knew, I went over into a bomb crater. I shall never forget the awful climb on hands and feet out of that hole about 5 feet deep, greasy clay and blood, though I did not know then that it was blood. The crater was immediately in front of the tent with the pneumonia patient, but the tent, which consisted of 3 marquees joined together, had collapsed. In all, there were 46 stretcher cases inside. Alice shouted, but nobody answered, and she could hear nothing above the roar of the planes and the anti-aircraft guns. I seemed to be the only living thing about. I tore along to the theatre. The lights are out and the doors shut. I hammered on the door and called out, "Help, help, we've been hit," but no one came. Sister Topsy Tyson was there, but every bottle of anaesthetic in the theatre had been broken. With so much chloroform and ether unleashed, they feared moving in the darkness because of the risk of fire. Running back to the tent, Alice saw the Padre. She told him she didn't know what to do because she could not find help. The dear old pet, as she called him, replied, "Just leave it to the Lord, sister." Alice thought him a very decent chap, but the raid had clearly shaken him badly. He added, "I'll go and get some help, sister, but you must get under cover."